Lord Jesus, we love you. And today we're just asking, we want to thank you, Lord, for coming up with the idea of church.
Yes.
That every week we'd get together. It's like, you know, getting warmed again, getting reminded, getting encouraged, realizing who we're going to spend eternity with, and realizing who we're not going to spend eternity with, that we would get your heart for them, that we would care, that we would realize who's not here and who we want to be here, who we want to be included in your love, in your mercy, in your plan. We're asking that you would open our eyes and our understanding this morning as we read your word, and help us to participate and understand the principle. We only get out of something what we put into it. Thank you, Jesus. Make these things alive for your sake. Amen. Homework this week. What was the homework this week? Do you remember? Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. So I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. And let's read verses, let's read 22 through 33. As we're reading it, we're gonna go back after we read it. We're just going to read these verses, and then we're going to go back. There's a study on the church. And down at the bottom, he says, this is a mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church. And yet he's given a metaphor or a picture of a marriage. He's using it as an example of Christ and the church. So what are we going to see about Christ and the church? What do we see concerning Christ and the church as we read this? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. While I was reading this, I felt like the Lord said, I want you to take a paper, maybe the back of the handout, and I want you to, as we talk about these things, list them out. What do you see concerning Christ and the church? What is it you see about the church? What is it we're going to talk about? One verse, and we're going to go and say, okay, what do you see? And as people say the things, let's list them out. Okay? Verse 22. Wives, now remember, we're talking about Christ and the church. The focus here is the church. God's idea of church. Okay? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. What do you think the key word is in that verse? Thank you. Okay? What's the next key word? How about wives? But what are we? Are we Christ or are we the church?
We are the bride of Christ.
We're the bride of Christ. We are the church, members in particular. Okay? So now watch. The key word here, okay, I'm helping you. God's wanting to help you understand how to break down and get what God wants us to get. Do you have a pen and paper? Are you going to write this stuff down? Okay, here we go. The key word, whenever you're going to look up, whenever you're going to ask God, what is this? What is the key? What's the key word? Number two, what is the main thing God is telling us here? It's always going to go along with the key word. And as Patty said, the word submit. So what is God telling us as the church? Submit to Christ. What does that mean to submit? If you were the boss, what does it mean to have someone submit to your authority? What does that mean? They do what you tell them without an attitude. What else? Now think about it. You're the boss. Well, how is it you want someone to submit to you? They do what you tell them without an attitude when you tell them to do it. Not, and how you tell them to do it, not their version of it. Okay, what else? What does it mean to submit?
I would want them to willingly do it out of a love for you.
Okay.
Give up your rights.
Who's this? This is the boss or the
wife?
No, I'm not just talking about the wife. I'm talking about you're the boss. So this other person, let's say it's an employee, okay, or a child, but it's a subordinate, someone that's under your authority. How would you want, what does it mean in your mind, what does it mean for them to submit?
The
please the boss
see vision,
to see their vision. Get on their purpose and do everything you can to fulfill their vision. Okay, wait a minute. Did y'all get that? Did you write that down? You don't want to miss that. Number one, it's to see submitting everything about us to the one in charge. If you were the boss, John, that's what you would want, right? If you have people under you, you want them to submit everything to you. You want them to obey. You want them, like Patty said, to have a heart that is willing to do what you want with a good attitude. Do it when you say, the way you say. She says, that doesn't mean you become a robot. What it means is you have a will. You have a vision. You're the follower. She's talking about the follower, okay? You still have vision, you still have ideas, but now what you do is you bring them to whoever the leader is and you submit them and say, these are my ideas, these are what I think, but I submit them to you, okay? And then that person, they either release you to go do them, because they feel like now is the time. Or they tell you, wait on that. They may say no, but it could just be wait. Because whenever you hear a no, I always take it as a wait. Because it could be yes down the road. See, when my kids used to come to me, my first answer was no. But then, because I felt pressured. But as soon as I could get away from them and pray, then I could come back and say, yeah, you could do it. Okay? But what she's saying is, we're not the person, when you're the leader, you're the boss, the people under you are not robots. You have to care about them. We're going to see that as we go through this, maybe about the next verse, I think.
He's teaching us on the submission that even if the one we're submitting to is wrong, that we go back into God and we pray that He changes their heart, because the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, in that we begin to pray for them trusting God, if you want this to happen, you will change their heart. So there's a lot for us to learn by being in the role of submission, even when we think that the authority is making mistakes. There's a lot for us to learn from that position.
Okay. What else? You're the boss. What kind of attitude, ideas, understanding do you want to have of the people that are under you? What kind of ideas, understanding, actions do you want them to have? I'm saying, what would you want as the boss? How would you want the people under you to submit? You want them to catch your vision. You want them to make you successful, not you having to fight them all the way through. Isn't that what you were basically saying? I mean, something along that line? You want them to do it willingly from their heart. What about their attitude toward you as the leader? Respect? Love? Obedience? Trust? Support? Diligence? Like not backstabbing? Diligence is a good one. Honesty, open. How about communication? Could I add one here? Realize positioning. Psalm 75, 6 and 7 says, promotion cometh not from the east, the west. In other words, it's not horizontal. Promotion doesn't come from here. You think it comes from here, you and I. It doesn't. Promotion cometh not from the east, west, or south. But God is judge. He putteth down one, he setteth up another. If he made you a female, you're probably glad you're not a male. And yet, you may want what males have. If you're a male, I'm sure you're glad you're not a female. But you may want what females have. If you're a child, you wish you had what the adults have. If you were an adult, you remember how easy it was when you were a kid and wish. I wish somebody would send me to bed. You know, have you ever said that? Yeah. You see, okay, we need to realize our position. Nate talks to me about this all the time because he sees it, and he sees it something, he's praying that others will see this. Positioning is so important. Positioning is so important. Who positions? Who made you a female? Who made you a male?
God.
Right. What position did he put us in? Now, if we were the boss, we'll call it that, the leader, how would we want the followers to follow? We've talked about it. What kind of attitudes? What kind of obedience? Yes, sir? Yep, very good. Honor. Say that again. Honor for the position you're in. How about honor for the position that the other is in? Right, honor for position. Honor the position. Jesus didn't tell the man, as we'll see here in Ephesians 5, to beat the woman up, to lord over her. Over in 1 Peter 5, when he's talking to leaders, and there's another place, I don't remember where it is, it's not coming to me right this second. It's verses like 7 and 17, but I can't think of which one it is. He doesn't tell the leaders, he says, do not be lords over God's heritage. Okay? So like she said, have honor for the position. And also realize, how about if we ask ourselves questions? Why? Why do they say not now? See, children, we can understand it as adults when we tell a kid to do something and they say, like, go to bed. But I'm not tired. Yes, you are. You've been whiny for the last 3 hours. At 8 o'clock is a good time for you to go to bed, let's say, okay, whatever it is. But the kid doesn't see that, do they? They whine, they cry.
We don't really want them to say why.
No, no. We don't want them to say why to us. We want them to say why to themselves. What am I supposed to learn from this? Not really why, but what am I supposed to learn from this? Okay? And whether I understand or not, I obey. As a leader, wouldn't we want them to have that attitude? He said, learn what you can. Learn what the position is all about, where you're at, where God has you right now, so that you can, so that He can advance you later. Because until you learn where you're at, God doesn't advance. You have to be successful in the position where you're at. I like something that Sue said earlier. If you were the boss, if you were the leader, wouldn't it be neat if the people caught your vision? You have a vision of where you're going. But you need people to help you to fulfill that vision. But you don't want to, your attitude is you don't want to use them. But you would like them to see the vision that you have. And then, what is my part to help fulfill the vision? So the word, submit. Okay? By the way, in Sunday school, we're going to talk about church. That's what we're doing. But there's more going on here. God is wanting to do a deeper thing. See, we did need to understand about church because we don't always understand about church. We have a North American concept of church. We don't have a Bible concept of church. Do you understand? We have a North American or an American concept of obedience to authority. But do you know what America started out as? A rebel nation. Do you know predominant spirits in America? Pride. Independence. Do you know what another word for independence is? Rebellion. This is the country we live in, and it's a predominant spirit. Guess what? We don't even realize that we have because it's a predominant, prevailing, ruling principality spirit in America that is given license by the ones who birthed the country and everyone since. And we applaud it that it's good. Is rebellion and pride good in the economy of God? What do you think maybe we need to break agreement with? What do you think maybe we need to ask God to search us and show us what we're blind to in those realms? Everything that's not righteousness of God. Everything that's unrighteousness needs to be turned away.
Everything that's righteousness of God, that's what means right standing with Him, that we'll fly with Him, that he will accept it. And that
He will bless it.
And bless it, yes. Because it's what He wants. It's we're doing His way.
It's His way.
And then turning away from all unrighteousness.
Exactly.
You done?
Okay. Yes, anybody have something to say? Nate?
The king always sets the temperature, the atmosphere. So, like in leadership, you're a king,
okay.
Right? I mean, the authority thing. And so, like, if people if people don't spend time with you, see, I'm relating this to the Lord. See, if we're not spending time with Him and finding the atmosphere He wants to set, then it doesn't matter what we do, we're just doing it on our own. And so we're trying
to get Him to come bless what we're doing.
Right, right.
At best.
Right. So we need to find out what the King wants. And then we, you know, whether, and I'm saying the King could be you, could be, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Whoever
God
sets position.
People in position.
Right.
So I just want to say that. Because right off the bat, I mean, you've shot yourself in the foot. If you're trying to figure things out on your own, and you're trying to figure out what works and what don't, well, you haven't even, you know, spent time with the King to find out His heart, you know.
Did you have something you want to say, Leah? Somebody?
It's more like knowing what the whole vision's all about and keeping on track with that vision and not sitting here thinking, well, what are they thinking? And not really knowing what the whole vision's all about. We need to have full clarity of what the vision's all about.
So how do we do that? You just heard what he said. How do we do that? How about we need to keep asking ourselves, do I see the vision? Why do I come here? Is it just, I want to go to some church. I like the music. I like the people. Or is this the vision? What is the vision of this place? Because every church has a vision. Some of them may be a food pantry. Some of them may be outreach. Some of them may be missions. But they have, some of them are more social. It's a lot of social. What is the vision? Number one. And is that where God wants you to be? And if that's where God wants you to be, then you need to find out what the vision is. Yes? Yes? Then when we find out what the vision is, see, that's what I had to do when we were in between, when God wasn't having me be a leader. The reason God had to have me do that 4.5 years, part of the reason where He wouldn't let me go to church was because He said, Harvey, He said, you've learned the secret. He said, if I sit, I said, why won't you let me go to church? He said, because you've learned the secret. When you go somewhere and you're not the leader, you lay down your vision that I've given you of where I'm taking you in your life. You lay down your vision because you're now not in authority and you understand positioning. So now you put yourself under their authority. So you lay down your vision to pick up their vision to help them succeed in their vision. He said, I can't let you go somewhere because I am taking you somewhere because I have a group of people that I want you to take somewhere. And He says, and if I let you go to another church, you're going to lay down your vision that I'm trying to take you to, that I'm preparing you for, and you're going to pick up their vision. Do you understand? So what is the vision? I'm just saying things we need to pray this week. God, what is the vision of Burning Bush? That's question number one. Question number two, am I in submission to that vision? And question number three, how am I supporting that vision? Matter of fact, don't ask yourself, am I in submission? Ask yourself, how am I in submission? Ask God. Because you may think you're in submission, but you're deceiving yourself. We all have deception. None of us have arrived. We all need accountability partners. But who we really need is the Holy Spirit. But it starts with breaking agreement with a predominant spirit in America of pride and rebellion, so that we humble ourselves and enter into God's kingdom instead of the American kingdom. God is not looking to build the American church. Jesus said, I will build my church, not the American church, full of pride and rebellion and self-attainment, self-promotion, self-vision, whatever.
self-focus. All these self things, you hear them, man. They're just coming out of us. That's right. I will build my church. He says, on this foundation, which is the deity of Christ, the profession. Hear what I'm going to say. God is wanting to do something with us. He's been working with us for 8 years, just healing us, trying to redirect us, trying to get our attention. He's done some things, but for God to go where He wants to go, there's some basic foundational things. What is the vision? I didn't know we were going here today. What is the vision? How am I in submission to it? How am I supporting it? I'm going to give you one other idea on supporting, okay? We can support or we can obey as an offering. This is what I offer you, God. But when God, whenever anybody tries to say anything to you to take you further, we fight. I gave you this. What else do you want? I'm already doing this. I'm already here, then. Whatever. What God wants is a sacrifice. What He exampled was a sacrifice. He didn't make an offering. He didn't give $1 million for your soul. He gave you His life, which cost Him His life. He's not looking for our offering. What we will offer Him. I'll offer you this, but I'm not going to go there. I'll do this, but I won't do that. I'll hug this person, but I won't hug that person. Do you understand? So what can we learn about the church? We didn't even get past verse 22. This was an example, I guess, is what He's telling me. Would you this week, would you do some homework for your sake, for Jesus' sake? Would you take Ephesians 5, 22 through 33 and write down, what is the key word in each verse? What is God showing me about the church? You see, when it said submit, it's easy. If I would have talked to you about you being the one to follow, you would have listened differently. But when I told you, let's pretend you're the leader, how would you want others to submit? Man, all of you want to jump in on that. But how do we submit? How do we submit? Do we get their vision? Do we lay down our lives to support their vision, to fulfill their vision? Do we? You follow me? So let's look at the church, this passage about the church. Let's look at it this week. Just take some time. Just say, God, open my understanding. Help me to see. What's the key word? What does that mean? What do you want me to see here? Okay? Jesus, we want to see everything You want us to see. And Lord, You want us to do everything You show us. So we pray that both of these would come into oneness. We would see, and You would get what You want, which is us obeying, us yielding, us following, us fulfilling that sign up there. Father, we want to give You everything You want. We want this to be a church. We don't want to just speak to the ideal or think to the ideal and think we're doing good because we're thinking to the ideal. We want to actually move into these ideals of giving You everything You want, of it not being about us, it being about Christ and He's all about others. And how does that play out in my life? Every day.
in real life relationships. Please open our eyes and our understanding about the church. Thank you for your concept of church. Help us to enter into your concept of church, that you could build your church here the way you want, not another American church, but a Christ church. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.